Blog Talk Radio.
Of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Blog Talk Radio, April 22nd, 2022. Good morning. This is Amazing Grace Ministries and we are destroying the yoke of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We are taking charge and living life to its fullness. I am your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, and we honor the host, Dr. Maria Carey, on this morning, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. We have an anointed, spirit-filled lesson on today, so we're going to get right into it. We have some announcements. Please keep this ministry, Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc., in your prayers as we undergo changes and restructuring. Save the date, June 10th, 2023. Blog Talk Radio annual event is coming. This is a free event. Please contact me, Evangelist Rogers, or Dr. Carey to confirm your attendance. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc., and you can send that donation to P.O. Box 43-8411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. Thank you to those who have sent in your donation. They are well appreciated. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you in continuing months of 2023. If you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text 309-750-7584 or email amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. We are on the air at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning, and we have exciting lessons, so please tune in. The link to connect to this lesson live is http://tobtara.com/s/122 19601. Let's get into the lesson explained. We have a word on today to captivate your mind, to illuminate your heart, and to lift you to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will take you on a journey to greater peace, to greater hope, and closer to Jesus as we set the pace for victory. The theme for this month of April is Fighting with Spiritual Weapons. The lesson for this fourth Saturday in April is Working Out for Your Good. Who is against you? Our text is coming from Romans 8, 27, 31, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predest to be conformed to be the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Introduction, we face many kinds of adversities, rivals, and oppositions. We face emotional and physical confrontations, stress and pressures, and competitions for jobs, awards, and prizes. The political world is full of rivalries battling through elections and campaign ads. Communities and nations often find themselves in adversarial relationships. Armies square off for dominance. Business struggle for market square. Economically, prices have increased in every aspect of our lives, from grocery stores to the gas tank. In addition, an increase in health conditions. There is violence in every community where our government systems can't seem to ban the inappropriate use of guns, and the attack on believers has tripled. But the most important oppositions we have is spiritual. As the Bible confirms, Satan and his demonic forces opposes us in every way they can. They spread lies and seek to stir up anger and fear to fill us with doubt and anxieties. They encourage division and conflict. They contempt us with thoughts and ideas and then provoke us to surrender to these temptations. Let's get into our lesson. This is a familiar passage of scriptures that we oftentimes quote the scripture, Romans 8 and 28. But we just want to go a little deeper on today because it's all about encouraging the body of Christ. When a Christian utters the phrase, all things work together for good, he or she is referring to a portion of one of the most quoted claims verses in the New Testament, Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, or as the King James Version translated, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Definitions, we got the word good. Good means that which is morally right, righteousness, or benefit or advantage to someone or something. Synonyms of good are of a favorable character, or tendency news, bountiful, fertile land, handsome, attractive looks, suitable, fit to eat. The concept of good denotes the conduct that should be preferred when posed with a choice between positive actions. Good is generally considered to be the opposite of evil and is of interest in the study of morality, ethics, religion, and philosophy. Spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is the conflict between good and evil. It is the ongoing battle between two diametrical opposed kingdoms, God's kingdom, which is good, and Satan's kingdom, which is evil. It's a spiritual conflict. Spiritual warfare also manifests in the natural realm of flesh and blood. Humans are caught in the midst of this conflict and may participate in the struggle on either side, as we discussed in the past. The history on some of the Romans. The book of Romans is a letter written by Paul. The apostle Paul wrote it roughly around 56 and 57 A.D. Paul wrote the letter to the believers in Rome, hence the name Romans. He wrote it to give them a concrete theology, theological foundation on which to construct their faith and to live for and serve God effectively. His purpose in writing was to proclaim the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ by teaching doctrine and edify and encourage the believer who would receive this letter. The book of Romans reveals the answer to important questions and supplies information on many topics, such as salvation, the sovereignty of God, judgment, spiritual growth, and the righteousness of God. The focus of the righteousness of God is foundational throughout the book of Romans. In fact, it is threaded through every section of the basic outline of this epistle. Paul reiterates this is so that the reader may realize that salvation cannot be attained through man's good deeds, but only through faith in God's righteousness. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. For in the gospel of righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith. Romans 1, 16, and 17. In chapters 1 through 8, Paul explains the fundamentals and foundation of our Christian faith. The outline of the Romans chapter 8, 1 through 39 talks about walking by the Spirit. Romans 8, 1 through 11 talks about the flesh versus the Spirit. Romans 8, 12 through 17 talks about heirs with Christ. Romans 8, 18 through 27 talk about the future glory. Romans 8, 28, 34 talks about good work. God works in all things. Romans 8, 35 through 39 talks about we're more than conquerors. In Romans 8, Paul contrasts a life lived in selfish pursuits, and which is the flesh, and the one lived in league with or in accordance with God, which is the Spirit. He impresses upon readers that our sovereign God is all-knowing, all-wise, and all-powerful. Verse 29, just before he mentioned the fact that God predestined those he foreknew, Paul makes the striking statement that God causes all things to work together for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8, 28. That statement gives believers in Christ confidence that even when circumstances are discouraging, they can know that God is in control and he has a plan. Paul then provides detail to show the trustworthiness of God in working all things together for good. Those whom God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus, 8:29. He learned a couple key points about God here. First, we discovered that God has foreknowledge of people before they even exist. Jeremiah records that God knew and consecrated him before he was born. That's Jeremiah 1 and 5. And I'm going to read that in the King James Version. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. David wrote that God had written all of David's day in a book, ordained them before they begun. Psalms 139:16. 139:16 in the book of Psalms, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Second, we learned that God does indeed predestine certain peoples. That is, he determines beforehand. He ordains. He decides ahead of time who will be saved. In Ephesians 1, Paul explained that God the Father chose believers to be in Christ before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1 and 4, and predestined believers to adoption as sons of God, Ephesians 1 and 5. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified Version. Just as in his love, he chose us in Christ, actually selected us for himself as his own, before the foundation of the world, so that we would be holy, that is, consecrated, set apart for him, purpose-driven, and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to himself as his own children through Jesus Christ in accordance with the kind intentions and good pleasures of his will. God foreknew and predestined his children. Back to verse 28. Those who love God can trust his goodness, his power and his will to work out all things for our good. We journey together with him. The promise that God works all things together for good does not mean that all things taken by themselves are good. Some things and events are decidedly bad. But God is able to work them together for good. He sees the big picture. He has an overall plan just for you. Neither does the promise that God works all things together for good means we will acquire all that we want or desire. Romans 8:28 is about God's goodness and our confidence that his plan will work out as he sees fit. Since his plan is always good, Christians can take confidence that no matter our circumstances or environments, God is active and will conclude things according to his good and wise design. With this knowledge, we can learn to be content. Philippians 4:11. This is the New Living Translation. Now that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content, I have. The fact that God works all things together for good means God's plan will not be thwarted. In fact, we are part of his plan, having been called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. When we trust God in his way, we can be sure that he is active and powerful on our behalf, Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20, and I'm going to read it in the New King James Version. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. God knows the future, and his desires will be accomplished. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I said, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please, Isaiah 46:10. Even when things seem chaotic and out of control, God is still in charge. We sometimes worry about what's happening to us because we do not know what is best for us, but God does. The examples of God's working it out. The principle of God work all things together for good is beautifully illustrated in the Old Testament account of Joseph's life. Early in Joseph's life, Joseph's jealous brothers sold him into slavery. In Egypt, Joseph rises to a position of responsibility. Then he is unjustly imprisoned and forgotten about by his friends. God gives him the ability to interpret dreams. And through that ability, Joseph is once again raised to a place of honor and power. When drought forces Joseph's brothers to seek food elsewhere, they travel to Egypt and encounter Joseph, who eventually saves them from starvation and grants them a livelihood in his new land. Throughout his life, Joseph trusted God no matter his good or bad circumstances. Joseph experienced plenty of bad things, kidnapping, slavery, false accusations, wrongfully imprisonment, rejection, and famine. But in the end, God brought things to a wonderful, life-affirming conclusion. God blessed Joseph's entire family through those painful circumstances and through Joseph's faith. You can read about Joseph's life beginning in Genesis chapter 37. Paul's life is another testament to how God works all things together for good. Paul suffered shipwrecks, beatings, imprisonment, murder attempts, temporary blindness, and more, all within God's plan to spread the gospel. Acts 9:16 and 2 Corinthians 11:24-27. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Acts 9:16, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. 2 Corinthians 11:24-27. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent the whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from Gentiles. I have faced dangers in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced dangers from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Through it all, God was steadfastly working to bring about good and glorious results for Paul. After promising that God works all things together for our good, Romans 8 concludes with the wonderful fact that God trumps everything that comes against him and those who belong to him. The Christian is assured that nothing can never separate us from God's love. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? shall trouble of hardship, or persecution of famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 8:35-39. God's love is everlasting, and his wisdom is infinite. It doesn't matter who or what attempts to thwart God's plan. No one and nothing can. God will work all things together for the good of those who love him. Our decision to line our will with God and to always trust him will be rewarded. Life presents many challenges, but what could seem like failure can lead to victory and teach important lessons. Through these experiences, we can mature, learn to trust God, and gain confidence that he will work everything together for our good. Remember that God is for you. You can trust him and be confident in him. Stand on his word. Let him take away your fears and worries and give you his peace. Have faith that he will direct your path. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct you. Proverbs 3:6, and this is the King James Version, it says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. Let's pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly before your throne of grace. Lord God, before we ask you for anything, just allow us to thank you for everything. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. You are truly the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of peace. You are the great I am. Hallelujah, the Alpha and the Omega. And we thank you on this morning, God. Lord God, we thank you because you know the plans that you have for us, God. Hallelujah. And we know that if you are for us, who can be against us, Lord God? Oh, God, help us, Lord God, to not let nothing separate us from you, God. And then, Lord God, forgive us. Forgive us for any sins we have committed, knowingly and unknowingly, God. Forgive us for our slothfulness, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. Help us to get on your business, God. Then, Lord God, look on the listeners, one by one, name by name, God. And then, God, look on our leaders. Look on my leader, God, the Administrative Assistant Superintendent, Dr. Byron L. Gibbs, and his wife, Lady Gibbs, Lord God. Look on my Assistant Pastor, Elder Reginald Johnson, Evangelist Johnson, God. Look on the motherboard, God. Look on Mother Norman, God. Look on Mother McCall, God. Mother Garnett, God. Look on Mother Carpenter and Mother Luckett, God. You know what they need, God. Touch them from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet, God. And then, God, go to Texas and touch Mother Christine, God. Then, God, go over to Indiana and touch Sister Pat, God. Hallelujah. Lord God, you know what they need, God. Then, Lord God, look on the whole ministerial staff, Lord God. Look on your people everywhere, God. Look on Minister Ellis, Lord God. And then look on the deacons, God. Go to the rooms, God. And look on Deacon Fondren and Deacon Drafton, Lord God. Allow them to know that you are still with them, God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. Look on the ushers, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you, God. We're giving you all the glory. God, then go out and rob it. Then look on Mother Esther Moore, God. You know what she needs. Give her strength in her body, God. Hallelujah. Touch her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, God. Look on Mother Maxine, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, look on your people everywhere, God. Hallelujah, one by one, name by name. Then, God, be with us, Lord God. Be with us in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Terry Rogers, and which our CEO and host is the Elder Maria Carey. And we just thank you for listening on today. Come on back next week, same time. I'll be returning. And remember, God is still in control. Be mindful and enjoy the remainder of your day. Be blessed and have a wonderful day on purpose.